bro. I'm very thankful you're here tonight. And I mean that, not just words. I'm thankful that there's still children of God who desire to meet in a midweek service. Understand that, you know, we need each other. We need to come together. God has ordained through the preaching of his word to encourage the body and to instruct us. And I've always, long before I started pastoring, I just looked at Wednesday like a little spiritual oasis in the middle of the week, that we can come and be with God's people, just escape the world and come into the presence of the Lord with God's children. If you have your Bibles tonight, I invite you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and then we'll go right back to Luke 22. Just you'll see real quickly where we're going. I used this verse a few days ago in morning devotional, and it's been on my mind a lot. I've been thinking about Peter, and we're going to talk a little bit about him and something he experienced. But it says here, talking about Andrew finding his brother Peter, he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. We go from that first meeting that Peter had with Jesus all the way to the end of just a day or two before Jesus would be arrested and crucified. And another scene, Peter has learned a lot, but he's still on a journey. He's still in a process. And we find in Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon." And notice those times in Scripture when that happens. Twice he used the name of Martha, Martha, Martha. And I wonder how many times if we'd listen, he'd hear that. Amen. We would hear that. But he said Simon's name twice. "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now notice Peter's reaction. He said unto him, unto Jesus, here he is again contradicting what the Lord has said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he, Jesus, said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt three times deny that thou knowest me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is a living word because it is God-breathed. It is your word. It is you, through the Spirit, that spoke to holy men of old, and they recorded what you would want us to have today, and we are so blessed, so thankful for the word of God. And yet, Lord, we know that just reading and trying to figure it out with our minds is never enough. We need the Spirit of God to make these words real to each of us, to apply them to our hearts and our lives. I pray, God, that you would anoint by your Spirit this time, that each one here, each one listening, watching, would be edified, would be instructed, would be encouraged by your divine word tonight. We ask for your help because we can do nothing without you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a couple things I want you to ask you to keep in mind as we as I lead into the subject. First of all, most of you know very well what was written in Romans 8 and 29, and we have a couple weeks ago preached around that thought. Brother Bill also, I believe, spoke about change and what God wants to do. But it said there in Romans 8, 29, that part of God's purpose for us is that our lives are conformed to the image of his Son. That is one of the eternal purposes of God. We go back to the Old Testament on that same first thought. The prophet Jeremiah talked about us, our lives represented as clay in the hands of the potter, and our merciful Father, who is the potter, shaping and molding our lives, which that is what it means to be, to conform, to shape and to mold. So we keep that first thought in mind, but then the second, this experience that Jesus said that Peter is getting ready to go through, it was a sifting experience. And we're going to talk more about this in a moment. But you know, and this is what part of what the Lord brought to my mind today, Peter's life was sifted because he could be sifted. Now think about that. He was not yet that man that he would become. He was not Cephas, the man with spiritual stability, strong in character, firm, as Paul would write, steadfast, unmovable, a godly leader, anointed apostle. Peter was not that man yet. That man could not be sifted because he had a solid experience. Peter's life could still be sifted, and Satan sought to do that. And so as we think about these two thoughts, I want to use the subject, and I hope it becomes clear. The subject tonight is sifting before shaping. I'll just be perfectly honest, as I was studying today and I was just making some preliminary notes, I often jot a lot of things down as they come to my mind, and I thought of a possible title, and what I wrote down was sifting or shaping. You know, which would we choose? We want to be sifted or shaped? But then the Lord very strongly impressed upon me that which can still be shifted cannot be shaped. Think of things that can be sifted. You can sift wheat, but you can't take those kernels of wheat and shape something. You can sift sand, but sand, when it's dry, is not able to be shaped. Amen? You cannot shape something that is in a shifty form. And so we're going to think about this spiritually and what God done in the life of Peter. But before our lives, going back to that first thought, before our lives can truly be shaped and molded and we begin to be conformed to the image of Christ, that's God's goal for us. But before that can truly take place, there's going to take place some sifting in our lives. I'll try to keep these words. Some of you remember, I just referred to it 3, 4, 5 days ago. I lose track, but I wrote a devotional about Jesus' words from John 1 and 42 and emphasized the thought that, you know, what we are doesn't have to determine who we're going to be. Jesus said to Peter, right now you're Simon, but you're going to be Cephas. And that verse for years has always been a great blessing to me as I tried to get across in that devotional that wherever we may be, whatever we may have used to be, and the Lord is aware of that, but that doesn't have to determine who we're going to be, amen, by God's grace and his power working in our lives. Simon, the name Simon means basically a shifty character, somebody who's not stable. They're inconsistent, up and down. And we see that in the life of Peter. He was like sand is easily blown by the wind. Peter was always moved by outward circumstances. He was blown here and there. Things were good. He's ready to, you know, make Jesus king. Things were bad. I don't know him. He was a very inconsistent character. It was not a difficult thing for Satan to look at the life of Peter and say, that's a man I can sift, because he was not solid. He had no firm character. But I'm glad, and this is part of the encouragement tonight that we receive, that through the grace of God and the prayerful intercession of Jesus, and I don't know how often you consider it, dear ones, but we ought to thank God every day that Jesus is at the Father's right hand making intercession for us. Amen? If we knew ourselves as we really are, we would be praising God, thanking Jesus that even though we don't deserve it, He is right there praying for us, knowing our need, aware of all of our weaknesses, asking the Father to bless us. And because of the prayerful intercession of Jesus, knowing who Peter could become when his life was sifted and his life began to be conformed, Jesus, aren't you glad He never gave up on Peter? Because if He didn't give up on Peter, that means He's not going to give up on you and I. Amen? He knew that Peter would reach that place where he would be stable. He would have a solid experience spiritually. We use that phrase. He would become a different man. And that confuses some people when they read that, you know, because Jesus said, when thou art converted, because Peter was already a believer. Peter had faith in God. Jesus made that clear. He had faith. I'm praying that your faith fail not. So he had to have faith for it not to fail. But then he said, when you're converted. And of course, that word has deep meaning, means when he was renewed to repentance. But Peter came to a new level in his spiritual experience. He was not the same man and after that. And then, of course, on the day of Pentecost, it was no act, and Peter wasn't alone. Matter of fact, and I'm not going to go down this track, but the word that Jesus used when he said to Satan desired to have you, that wasn't a singular pronoun, that was a plural in the Greek, because he was talking about the disciples. Peter represented the group. Peter had the greatest need of all the men in the group because he was so, you know, impetuous and bold and everything. But Peter would become a different man. He would become prepared for what would happen on the day of Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But that never would have happened with him if he had not gone through this experience of being sifted. I hope we will understand that tonight, that the man that Peter would become, we would never have read about. He never would have reached that if he had not gone through this great test, really his life being sifted. But you know, that's not something we want to really consider in regards to our own life. We certainly don't want to invite it. We have enough, you know, as I said Sunday, troubles and trials in life. We don't need to invite any more, and I'm never encouraged by any person to invite more. But there was a reason why Jesus allowed Peter to go through this test. Amen. Without test, without trials, without the experience of sifting, our life can never take on the new spiritual dimension that Jesus knows is possible. But let's keep in mind as we talk about Peter and as we reflect on our own lives, because obviously we want to make some personal application. In the back of this, I shouldn't say in the back, at the very foreground of this are the words, I have prayed for you. Amen. And I'll ask you to keep that in mind, because there may be people here tonight whose lives are being sifted. You may be facing tests and trials of different kinds, and God's trying to do something in your life, and you don't understand why He's let this happen, and you don't understand why He's let the enemy attack you in this way. But always keep before your mind the words of Jesus, I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Amen. That's something we all need to remember. We all need to keep in our thoughts, because we will face tests and trials of life. We have a merciful high priest, our great high priest. He's at the Father's right hand, the Bible tells us. And you know what He's doing? He's praying for you and I as His children. What a blessed thought. Amen. Now, as Jesus reveals this to Peter, if you pause and think about what he's saying, it becomes clear that something has taken place. And in my mind, I see a scene very similar to that in the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, when you remember Satan came before God and he asked permission to test God's child. You got to remove the hedge so I can test him. And we wonder, why would God remove the hedge? For Job's good, for your good, for God's glory, amen, for the benefit of millions of people. God did. He was tested. He passed the test. Something similar to this happened in the spiritual realm that we are, of course, not aware of completely. Satan comes and he asks permission. I've been watching that guy, Peter, that one that he does a lot of talking, but just let me at him. And the Lord said, okay. Then why would Jesus do that? For Peter's good. For our good. And for God's glory. I didn't think about it just now. Could you imagine the early church taking Peter out? I mean, he was the leader. He was that one, you know, the ramrod. He was pushing. And so many things God used Peter to help the early church. It takes us back to another scripture. What Satan meant for evil, God turned for good. See, this is... Don't ever believe those lies that some people would tell you that Satan is like God. He's not God. He's a limited, finite being. He could see just like you and I see people, and he's a little more observant and wise than you and I. He could see the flaws in Peter's character. He could see that he was Simon, that he was up and down, and he was bold and brash and always jumping before his brain engaged. And he saw that, and Satan thought, I'm going to get this man, and I'm going to destroy him. Amen? How you know that? Do you think Satan would have been on board if he thought, through what I'm doing, that man is going to become a mighty apostle? No, he thought, I'm going to destroy him, just like he thought, I'm going to destroy Job, just like he thought when he sent the very demons of hell, and I believe all the host of hell gathered against Jesus when he was in Gethsemane's garden and hanging upon the cross. He thought he was going to destroy the Son of God. Satan doesn't know everything. Amen. God is still God, and God said, you go ahead and test my servant. You sift him. I see where he's at right now. He can still be sifted. You go ahead. But we know the rest of the story. Amen. And the rest of the story goes back to the words of Jesus again, because the Son of the living God was praying for him that his faith fail not. You ever try to put yourselves in Peter's shoes? Really shouldn't be hard for some of us. I'm not going to name any names, just. Some of you have studied about the life of Peter, and some of the difficulties he faced. And it's not, a big leap for some of us to imagine ourselves in Peter's shoes. I don't mean as Cephas, the man of firm character, a solid experience. I mean, Simon. Think about who he was on a human level. Think about who he regarded himself to be. And I just use the name Peter because that's how we relate to him more rather than Simon. But Peter was a bold man. He wasn't the one to stand in the background. He's up front. Peter was a courageous man. We can fuss about him after he's walking on the water, that is, he hesitated for a bit and began to sink, but there wasn't none of the other 12 got out of the boat, just Peter. Only Peter took up the sword to defend Jesus. Amen. He was a courageous man. He was very quick to act. He was quick to speak. He was impetuous. Nobody else here like that. Just me. But Peter was quick to react in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Amen. And so you know the rest of the story. We jump to the end, a couple days later, when we see a scene that Peter could not have imagined in his wildest dreams, because he regarded himself just like I described him. He was a man's man. If anybody's going to hang with Jesus to the end, it's going to be me. What did he say in verse 33? Jesus said what's going to happen, and Peter said, Lord, like, you don't really know me. I will go to prison with you. I will die with you. But we see him a couple days later, and the courageous man has turned into a coward. His boldness has turned to shame. This man that was honest and truthful turned to a liar. You know, Peter lied. The devoted follower became a tremendous failure. I won't have time tonight. I'm not going to take time to go far with this. I don't know whatever the Lord wants, if he wants, we'll continue later, but because the life of Peter has so much for us to study. But I remind you tonight that one of the biggest reasons that Peter failed and he was able to be sifted. Satan didn't come after him for no reason. He said, that's a man I can sift. He was right. One of the biggest reasons for that was Peter did not know himself. Amen. You know, there's a saying, we think it about other people except us, that the easiest person to fool is that one you look at in the mirror every day. Amen. Well, this could be a real deep subject, but I'm going to move on. Peter didn't know himself, but he thought he did. He had this image of himself. I'll suffer, I'll die. There's no way. I mean, what did he say in another place? Though all men forsake thee. You're getting the picture. How he regarded himself. He did not know himself. But somebody knew him. And this is another thought that blessed me. Jesus knew him exactly like he was. But you know what, Brother Bubba? He loved him just like he was. Isn't that wonderful? I thought of the song, Just As I Am. Jesus had no intention to leave Peter like this, but he loved him just like he was. Hallelujah. And if he did not love us like he found us, none of us would be here tonight. None of us would have any hope of heaven. He loved him. And because he loved him, he prayed for him and he did not give up on him. Amen. Jesus knew there were things in Peter's life that could be sifted. You know what? We don't do it, you know, personally, like farmers did then when they bring in a harvest of grain and the little kernel of a grain is encased in it's encased in something called a chaff. And that has to be winnowed is what the process is. The wheat will fall through, that which is good, that which is pure, that which is going to last to be kept. But the chaff, you remember, and we hear that phrase used in many places, that Jesus said, I'm going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to do it at the end when he comes back, but he is at work doing that even now in the lives of his children, separating the wheat from the chaff. All in Peter that was not of God needed to be sifted. It's difficult on this generation, you know, that we grow up being told how good we are, and we take classes to promote our self-confidence and our self-reliance, and you know, I do not hesitate to tell you at all that we are the most self-centric society that's ever existed. Amen. But Jesus had a bigger plan for Peter. He knew that which was of the flesh needed to be sifted away. That made him that inconsistent, unstable, unreliable man, that shiftiness in his character that had to be sifted. Because Jesus knew that he wanted to make Peter into a new man. But he was already a believer. Jesus wanted to make him into a new man. But he was saved. Jesus still wanted to make him into a new man. We forget this so often. We live for the Lord 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and we think, you know, the Lord is working on you and me, brother and sister. Amen. Because Jesus had that purpose for Peter, he wanted, and the Father wanted him, Peter, to be conformed to the image of the Son. He knew he had to face this test. He said, I just can't understand why Jesus would let him go through that. I can't understand why God would, you know, pull the hedge back and let Satan attack Job like he did. Why does that go on? Because he's God and we're not. That's why we don't understand. But I've tried to remind you tonight, Jesus knew because of his prayer, the faithfulness of God and power of God, he knew that what Satan is intending against my servant Peter, we are going to overcome, and Peter is going to become a new man. Hallelujah. Amen. A great leader of the early church. He means the same for the test that you and I faced. Amen. But it's so hard and painful. He's working it for good. Amen. Amen. Is that just Brother Chris's opinion? No, I'm quoting God's word for you. Amen. Every child of God is going to face a sifting time in their lives. Sometimes it is a short period, requires but few tests, and they go on and begin to be conformed and shaped. Others keep repeating the test, and the sifting process seems to be never ending. But keep in mind what I open with. God cannot truly begin. You say, I'm that clay on the potter's wheel. Maybe not yet. Because if we're shifty, amen. Peter reached a place where his spiritual experience became solid. I don't mean hardened, but he became, in the sense, hardened against God, but he became firm in his faith and his experience with God. But until we reach that point, you know, we say of people when they've reached maturity and stuff, you know, they've come a long way spiritually, they have a solid experience with God. And there are those here tonight I feel exactly that about, that no matter what Satan throws at you, you have a solid experience with God. But until we have that solid experience, we're going to remain in the sifting. God can't really begin to shape and mold us. Why are we in that sifting process so long, Brother Chris? Because there's things in us he needs to remove. Amen. I guess if I would have tried real hard, I could have thought of a more diplomatic way to say that, but there's things that's got to go. Amen. For us to get down to what is real, what God is doing, rather than what we think we are. We got to get down to the real, the life of God that is in us, that God is working on, developing, growing, maturing. And I won't even begin to go into a list because it would be a long, long list, but there's a lot of things in the lives of God's people need sifted out. Amen. And it's easy to start thinking, well, you know, that one, that one, that one, and I know. But again, the easiest one to fool is ourself. There's things that may need to be sifted out of our hearts, out of our characters. Amen. A lot of people don't understand that God is in the process of reshaping our character. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I've got a good character. I've always had a good character. Well, none of us always had a good character. And he's still working on that thing. Things need to be sifted out of our attitudes. I'm preaching because I love you. Things that's got to be sifted out of our thinking. The way we have thought as unregenerate people, the way we thought as young carnal Christians, the way the world has taught us to think, it's got to go. It's got to be sifted. Amen. Things that's got to be sifted out of our outward lives. Amen. Things that's got to be sifted out of our personality. All that is not of God is not going to last. Amen. So, what I want to leave with you tonight is a twofold question. And I'll say it generally, including me. Do we want to remain in the sifting process because we're always holding on to things? And I was reminded of something, because when we're in this place, you know, another thing about Peter that we see as Simon, you know, the shifty guy, he was a man of great self-determination, and I'm sure he's somebody who had tremendous resolve. We would say, you know, strong-willed, Peter was. And if I decide to do it, let me tell you how all that stuff is in a life that can be sifted. Many of you could say amen. When we are still in that condition, all of our resolve comes to nothing. But I'm going to do better, and you know how that went. I'm not ever doing that again, and you know how that went. But I've determined, and I haven't done it for this many days. Just live a little longer. I'm not talking about a life of sin every day, but I'm telling you, when we are in this spiritual condition where we can be sifted, all of our determination, resolve, hard-headedness, whatever you want to call it, it all means nothing in this spiritual battle. Satan laughs at us. So The question is, do we want to continue in that sifting process, trying to hold on whatever it is that God's trying to sift out of our lives? Or do we want to become that new person like Peter became? That one who, to use the words of the apostle, who is steadfast and unmovable, that one who can be depended on because they're firm in character, that one who has a solid experience with God, nobody has to wonder about anymore, and God doesn't wonder about. He knows you can be trusted. Do we want to remain in the sifting process, or do we want to let God take us through that and begin to shape and mold our lives into the image of His Son? Amen. Not until the chaff is gone that our experience becomes firm, solid. We can begin to be shaped, molded, conformed to the image of Christ. So while facing these realities spiritually, some of the greatest encouragement in all of the Bible are the words that Jesus said to Peter, and he lets us know, I've prayed for you. Amen? See, that's the thing. And I'm not here to say, I'm not threatening, not any of that, because Jesus did not give up on Peter. He knew that man's going to deny him with an oath, lie. But he said, Peter, I'll pray for you because I don't want your faith to fail, and you're going to come back. And by God's grace and through the prayers of Jesus Christ, he did. So we want our lives to be shaped. Let's let God do what he wants to in the sifting of our lives. Let's realize that every test comes for a reason. It's not accident, not coincidence. There are no accidents and coincidences in the life of a child of God, not a true child of God. You facing something tough, God's allowed it for your good. Amen. And he's going to work it for good as we allow him to sift our lives. It's a whole lot better to let the Father sift us than him say, Satan, you go at it a while. Amen. That's our choice. Are we going to be forever sifted in this world? Or are we going to come through that and let God begin to mold our lives? Stand with us as our singers, musicians come, and we'll sing a verse or two of a closing hymn. If you need to pray, we invite you to come.